Amen, saints. You will notice in your order of service there is a sermon note sheet. And you perhaps may want to get a pen or pencil out to jot a few notes to add to your devotional reflections this week. Amen. We are starting a new series today. And the theme of the series is Set Free. Everybody say, Set Free. Amen. And today it's Set Free to Worship. And next week it'll be Set Free to Love. And then Set Free to Serve. Amen. What a privilege, isn't it? Set free. Free indeed. Amen. Well, as I was reflecting upon being set free to worship, I said, well, I would start with trying to understand what the two words mean, free and worship. What is freedom, saints? Freedom is the most basic in its form is choice. God gave us that gift, the gift of choice, and it's a powerful gift, and we have the freedom to choose. In John 8, verse 32, it reads, "Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Amen. Praise God. You see, when Jesus sets us free, we are free indeed, and it makes such an impact upon our lives, and not only our lives, but the lives of others. Amen. And then we're free to live overcoming and productive lives. Don't that sound good to be free? Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. And then worship, looking and studying that term, worship is it's broad. Webster's defines worship as to honor, to reverence, to regard with great, extravagant respect, devotion, to adore and love. And the New Testament, it never confines worship to just assembling together. How many remember when we did the purpose-driven life as a church? And Rick Warren, he wrote in his book, and we had went over it, that anything we do that brings pleasure to God is an act of worship. Anything that we do that brings pleasure to God is an act of worship. Hallelujah. And Brother Lawrence, he says that over and over as well. In our spiritual journey group, we're studying Brother Lawrence, and he says over and over that just every moment of the day, whether he's washing dishes or whether he's trimming the lawn, he just desires to worship God in every moment of the day. Amen. And anything that brings pleasure to God is an act of worship. And indeed, our worship must be about God. That's whom our worship must be about. And we have to participate, amen? And we have to be spiritual and real. God wants real servants, amen? And worship must be a lifestyle. And we're going to get into that, but before we do, I want us to join our hearts in prayer. Praise your name, Lord, oh God Almighty. We say thank you, thank you, thank you. Blessed be your name. You who have caused all Holy Scripture to be written for our learning, our growing, our transformation. So Lord, we thank you for the read word, oh God. And now as we actively listen to the preached word of God, grant us, Lord God, so to hear your words, oh God, and to learn and to inwardly digest your word, that we may embrace and ever hold fast that blessed hope of everlasting life and that blessed hope of abundant life. Right here, right now, in you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you've set us free, oh God. And we just give you praise for all that you've done, are doing, and yet shall do in and through our lives. And it's in Jesus' mighty name. All God's saints join together to say, amen and amen. Well, there is a story told of a church service in which the minister stands up before the congregation, and it was a vast sanctuary, but it was almost empty. The minister looked out upon the empty seats and surveyed the four lonely people in the congregation, one young man and three senior women. And so the minister begins to speak. The minister says, "I give thanks to God that there are at least a handful of us who have made the effort to come to worship. I give thanks to God that there are at least a handful of us who have come to feed on the Word of God and who don't believe that God is less important than the football game that's on the TV now." And suddenly, the young man in the back crew, he jumps up and says, "Oh no, I forgot about the game." And with that, he runs out of the sanctuary. Oh well. You know what? There may be some of us here today, saints, we forgot about some other thing happening, and so here we are. Now, there may be others of us, we're here at worship because we're struggling with something in our lives. This past Christmas, it was so funny. We went to visit Christmas with Samantha in Charlotte, North Carolina, and they had the first snow that they had in 10 years. And so people were coming on their balcony and taking pictures, and nobody was driving, you know, so we were calling up different churches. They were canceling, I think it was 500 churches that had canceled their service. But we kept looking on the internet to find the service, and we did. And so we arrived there, and it was a good worship, but there turned out to be more visitors than the actual members, because they didn't want to drive. They were like, well, we're from the north, you know, it was nothing for us. And so the pastor got up and he was preaching. He said, "Wow, you all must have a lot of problems to be here today." I'm like, oh my goodness, I don't have a lot of problems. That's not why I was here today. I come to worship the Lord. But he said, "That must be the only reason you came through that snow. You must have a lot of problems." Well, maybe today some of us, maybe we are grieving. Maybe we are hurting. Maybe we do feel lost. Maybe we do feel lonely. And our attendance and worship is a part of our search for answers for our lives. Still others today, we might be here against our will. You might have come because your parents said, "You gonna go to church this morning," and they are bigger than you, and so you are here. Amen. Or maybe your spouse made you come here today, and if you want things to go over smoothly the next day or two, giving in to them is the thing to do. Hallelujah. But I believe, saints, that for most of us, we made the decision that coming to corporate worship, gathering together as God's people, is a discipline that we want to follow. Hallelujah. Can I get a hallelujah? How many out there? Hallelujah. Well, why did we make that decision, saints? Why come to worship? Why gather with the saints to give God praise and glory? Well, our scripture lesson from Isaiah is a great place for us to look for answers to these questions. For the past 3,000 years, saints, worship has found its basis in this chapter, chapter 6. The order of our worship is based on a part of the 6th chapter of Isaiah. First, we see true worship is not an escape from reality. That ain't what we're trying to do, amen? True worship is something that happens in the midst of life. Everybody say, in the midst. In the midst of life, that's where true worship takes place. Now, Isaiah begins this passage with an interesting statement. Isaiah says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, in that year, I see the Lord seated on the throne, exalted." Hallelujah. You see, it was in the midst of life, in the midst of living, in the year that King Uzziah died. And saints, true worship, it focuses on God. Now, this is where so many of us make a mistake. We think that worship focuses on us. We actually think it's about us. I have heard so many people talk about, oh, how they struggle to worship because it's so boring. Oh, it's so boring. Or it's just too long. Or it's too this. Or it's too that. Have you ever heard anyone say, "I'm not getting anything out of worship"? Anybody ever hear somebody say that? "I'm not being nurtured by worship. I don't get a blessing out of worship." Everybody say, but, saints, how concerned are we as to whether or not God is being blessed in the worship service? That's where our concern should be. Is God being blessed in the worship service? Are we concerned about whether or not God is enjoying worship? Now, scripture says the Lord rejoices in the praises of God's people. The Lord, our God, is glad within his heart when the people of the Lord rejoice and worship and praise him. Hallelujah. So why do we worship? We worship, yes, so that we can get something out of the experience. But saints, we also worship primarily so that God can get something out of it. We worship so that God can get something out of it. And until God gets something out of our worship, we never will. Until God is blessed with our worship, we won't be blessed. All too often, saints, we treat worship as something that's supposed to entertain us. But it isn't. Just nod your neighbor and say, neighbor, it isn't. It isn't supposed to be something to entertain us. What is most important is that God enjoys the worship experience. We are here to worship God. So just remind your neighbor, neighbor, we're here to worship God. We are here to bless God. We are here to rejoice in the Lord. Amen. Now in Isaiah, the prophet goes on to say, he says, I see the Lord seated on the throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe fills the temple with glory. Hallelujah. Saints, it's the presence of God that fills the worship. It's the presence of God. And true worship always focuses on God. Hallelujah. I think so often we forget that God is such an awesome God. We serve an awesome God. We serve a holy God, saints. And to be in God's presence, oh, what a joy, what a privilege to be able to stand on holy ground, to be able to be filled with wonder and awe as we, God's people, together worship the Lord our God. We look in the Word of God. When Moses, we see when he was aware of God's presence in that burning bush, Scripture says he got afraid, but he was aware of God's presence in that bush. He got afraid. We look in the Word of God when Jacob had that dream of that stair steps, those ladders. We are climbing Jacob's ladder. When he had that, he was afraid. He just woke up shaking because he says, surely the Lord is present. And I didn't even know it. And the Bible says that he was filled with awe. And saints, time and time again, when people are aware of the presence of God, the Bible describes the experience as one filled with awe and with fear. Hallelujah. So why do we worship God? We worship God because God is holy, saints. And God's holiness demands our attention. Yes. Now, we sing a song, our praise choir from time to time. It's, how marvelous you are, Lord God. Holy you are. Oh, the beauty of your holiness. We worship and adore. Let the nations now declare your worth. Holy are you, Lord. Just reflect on that. Holy is the Lord God. Holy is our God. And true worship, saints, it also, as we are worshiping, it helps us to understand ourselves. True worship helps us to see our own shortcomings. True worship helps us to seek God's forgiveness. In Isaiah, the heavenly beings, they're singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory. And immediately, we see that the prophet cries out, woe to me. And he is speaking of his own sinfulness. Now, saints, we cannot come into the presence of God without being aware of God's holiness and then becoming aware of our own unholiness. Amen. Now, Paul, in his letter to the Romans, in Romans 3:23, Paul said, for all have sinned. Every last one of us, none of us are exempt. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And as people, all of us who have fallen short of the glory of God, it is impossible for us to be in God's presence without being aware of those sins. God's bright light shining into our hearts and to our lives. It's hard for us not to be aware of our, our shortcomings. And in Isaiah, the heavenly being symbolically takes a hot coal and touches the lips of the prophet as a gesture that declares, your sins are forgiven. Hallelujah. Now, in one of John's New Testament letters, 1 John 1, 8 and 9, we're told that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Hallelujah. Our Aunt Helen, she used to say that. She could tell if you were lying or not. She said, oh, be quiet. You're lying and the truth ain't in you. She would say, you're lying and the truth ain't in you. But if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But Scripture says if we confess our faults, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Praise your name, Lord God. Why do we worship saints? Well, one reason is to be able to experience that forgiveness. How many know we all need to experience forgiveness? We need to hear the very same message that the prophet Isaiah heard. Your guilt has been taken away. Your sins are forgiven. Praise your name, Lord God. Now, God is so good, saints, and I want you to listen to this passage. It's written by David, Psalm 116, and verses 12 through 19. Listen to what David says. What shall I return to the Lord for all of his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful servants. Truly I am your servant, Lord. I serve you just as my mother did. You have freed me from my chains. Hallelujah. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Saints, when we come into contact with God and God's holiness, it just makes you want to just shout and give praise. It makes you want to say, here I am, Lord. All of me I give to you. And we don't want to be stingy, do we, with a great and awesome God that we serve. And you know what? Even giving ourselves, giving of our resources, our finances, this is an act of worship. Amen. To acknowledge, God, you really are the owner of all I have. You are the owner of everything. It's you, oh God. And Jesus tells us in Matthew 10:8, freely you have received, freely give. So the point is not whether or not you will literally give away all that you have, but whether or not you will recognize God's complete and unconditional ownership of all that you have. Hallelujah. Amen. The saints, we're talking about a new attitude, an entirely new attitude toward life. This is true worship, saints. Worship as a lifestyle that affects every aspect of our living. And this aspect of giving, just, Lord, I want to be obedient to what you have said in your word. I want to give with joy. Amen. And giving tells us where our hearts are. Amen. The psalmist said, I will sacrifice a thank offering unto you, Lord God. Praise your name. So giving is a part of worship because God is good. Amen. Hallelujah. That's why we start saying, hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord God. Oh, because we say thank you for all of your goodness unto us and for this privilege to give back. Amen. Now, saints, I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, our worship is vital. Our worship is vital. Our worship is vital. Now, we can always reach God through praise and worship. No matter what you're going through, oh, just start praising and worship. Now, I want you to look at praise in a different way today. Look at praise like a phone company, okay, like a cell phone or your land phone. Just look at praise as a phone. A phone that can always connect you to God. Hallelujah! Always connect you to God. You'll always be connected. Amen. So if you've been expecting God to do something in your life and it hasn't yet manifested yet, maybe you better check your phone out. Maybe something ain't working right. Maybe the praise ain't working right. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Depending on your phone service, sometimes you're going to get interruptions. You know, sometimes you got to hang up and try again. Or you got Revel like me. Sometimes it just drops the call every now and then, you know. But we have to focus. And most of us, we don't focus long enough with our praise and our worship. You know, at home, if we do start praising and worshiping at home, it's only for about a minute, maybe. Maybe a 2 minute or so. But you know what? God is getting shortchanged. Because we'll go sit in front of the TV and watch that for hours. All right, just tell the truth. All right. Now, some of us, we sit in church, and while worship is taking place and going on, we looking around the room and what this one doing and what that one doing. We start fidgeting. Some of us start walking some everywhere. Some of us start thinking, did I leave those beans on the stove? Ooh, did I leave that milk sitting up? Anything to keep our minds from worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth. So as a people, we have difficulty on focusing on anything too long. Amen? And that's why in spiritual journey, we're learning disciplines to help us focus longer and longer just on the Lord God Almighty and giving praise to God. Now, the cell phone companies, they haven't figured this out yet, but when they start getting too many calls, the frequency starts locking up, you see. But one thing about our God, God can get billions of prayers, billions of praise going up, and never drop a call. God never drops a call, saints. I wish there was somebody here who knew about lifestyle worship and that God will never drop a call when you call. Do you know anything about closet worship up in here today? When you just go in your closet and you just start praising up in the closet. Has anybody gone in the closet? The closet is a good place. You can get as loud as you want. You can dance as hard as you want. Amen. And nobody, it's just you and God. Praise God. Anybody know anything about on the job praise and worship? Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Somebody may be talking smart to you. Candace, she had a testimony this past week. She said, you know, her boss was just snapping and just acting up. And so she just said, "Woo, hallelujah, I'm praising the Lord because God is good." All the customers start, you know, and they all smile. It like broke the ice, and she just was able to go on and have a good day. It's just like the Lord just took that one acknowledgement and just shut all that negativity down. Hallelujah, that's praise and worship on the job. Anybody know about praise and worship in the kitchen while you cooking? Hallelujah! Amen. And that food come out better than any kind of food when you've been in there praising and worshiping. Amen. Praise and worship as a lifestyle. Praise God. Anybody know anything about red light praise and worship? Hallelujah! You can really get some praise on with Kirk Franklin or whoever you got on. Just go ahead on and say, "I love you, Lord. I love you." Get yourself back together when it turns green and go ahead on. Hallelujah. Red stop. Light worship. Hallelujah. Now, saints, one of the things, amen, that Jesus was teaching us, and this was constantly during this time, was the importance of staying connected to God. Thank you, Lord. Staying connected to God beyond the synagogue, beyond the temple, staying connected to God beyond the church. Hallelujah. The church building. So as we're living our daily lives, we're free to praise God. Free. We're free, even though we can't see the answer yet. We're free to say, "I know God is already working it out. I don't see the answer, but I'm free to just trust God and know that God is working on my behalf." Hallelujah, because the word says all things work together for good to those that love the Lord, and I know I love the Lord, and I trust God is working it out. When some difficulty comes in your way, just go ahead and verbalize it. Say, "I trust God that God is up to something. I don't know what you're up to, oh God, but I'm going to praise you and I'm going to worship you because I know you up to something." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may say, "Well, this didn't work so well." How many have said that about something? This didn't work so well. but I know God is setting me up for something greater. So I'm going to keep singing the praises, amen, so the blessings I know are on their way down. Hallelujah. We need to be in worship mode. Everybody say worship mode. Worship mode as a lifestyle. We're free to stay in worship mode. Just because we leave this building and go into our jobs, go into the community, we are free to stay in worship mode. Hallelujah. Now, Brother Lawrence, he says in his book that we're studying spiritual journey, practicing the presence of God as a lifestyle, just worshiping God no matter what we're doing, no matter where we're going. Hallelujah. And he says the practice of worshiping, the practice of the presence of God is the best rule of a holy life. Hallelujah. It's the best rule